So you might notice we have quite a mess going on today. Isn't it a beautiful mess? We had, I think it was 14 or 15 people who came out to work yesterday. You guys amaze me. I don't know why I'm amazed, because you just are so faithful. But we worked, did a work day yesterday, and so you might see some pink stickers on stuff, and you might see some blue stickers on stuff. So the ones I want you to be aware of really are the pink and the yellow. Anything that you see that is on a pink tarp or in a room that says on a sign, everything in this room is free, I want you to feel free to take it if you want it. Now, I will tell you, they're spread out. We have 12,000 square feet here, and they're spread out. So you need to really do some walking around. There's a room in the office area where the copy room is. There's a room back there that says everything is free. There's some Christmas decorations in there. So go in there if you want anything in there. There's a room on the far right in the corner by that side exit. There's a room. Are there any other totally free rooms? No, those two. Okay, so, and then there's some stuff out in the foyer here that's free. So as most of you know, we're making a move, and we wanted to get rid of some items that we no longer need, but we didn't want to just put them in a landfill. We wanted to bless somebody, and whatever doesn't get picked up by you in the next 7 days, by next week, we will take to Goodwill and donate, okay? If it's on the yellow thing, it's because it's broken. So just be aware. There's a little children's table on a yellow tarp, but it has one leg that's broken. Oh, it's gone? Somebody picked it up already. You got rid of it. Perfect. Okay, so we're good. Okay. Now, I wanted to give you an update on our Adventure 23 here, because I know some of you keep asking. We're on the move still. As most of you know, next Sunday will be our final Sunday in this location. But God is directing, and it looks like we might. Everybody say might. Might. Don't forget that word, okay? We might have a place. Now, I know, right? There's some hurdles that we still have to jump through. But really, on our budget, we had faith, but we were realistically thinking that it would be hard to find a place that would fit our budget that we could occupy all the time. We thought we might have to do some, you know, packing up, and but we didn't want that. But we got a call. So let me tell you this first. I hope you're ready, because it's a little far for some of you. So just be ready, okay, to make a sacrifice, because it might take some time. The elders are laughing because they know. So the thing is, it's actually going to be closer for everybody in the room. Because if you pull in the driveway, instead of coming all the way back to the back building, it's going to be in the front building, God willing. I know, right? Like I said, it may not happen, but it's looking pretty good right now if we can get the city of Solon to agree to it and some other hurdles we need to jump through. So pray that direction. I wanted to give you the good news and give you some hope, but I really want you praying about it too with the elders and I, because we want God's plan. If God wants to shut this down, then I want him to shut it down. Truly. But if this is his plan for us, it would be a God thing for sure. It would be smaller, which we really need smaller. We don't really need 12,000 square feet. It would be about 7,000 square feet, something like that. But I walked through it again. A few of us walked through it for the second time on Thursday night, and I started getting vision for it. Roger helped, and Ron helped, because they can see things sometimes that I can't see spatially. But I started getting vision for it. And so The exciting part to me is that it's a chance for us as a church family to go into a place and get vision together for a new site, you know? But it's also kind of exciting if it's that close that we could walk across, you know, to it. So anyway, I wanted to let you guys know about that. Be praying on it. We'll keep you posted. I'm trying really hard to keep you updated without getting your hopes up too high, but that's where we're looking right now. Did I forget anything that I need to add? Team, elders, team? Okay, no. Good. Thank you to all who did volunteer yesterday, and some of you who didn't come yesterday who have been volunteering all along to help us get ready for a move. I'm really just touched. I don't know. And Suzanne came and brought her professional expertise. And I was like, thank you, Lord. I didn't want to ask her because I know she stays so busy. That's her business. She runs an organizing business and helps people transition when they're moving. And I wanted to call her, but I didn't because I know she's occupied, you know. But she called me. I told Carly Thursday night, I'm like, I'm starting to feel overwhelmed about Saturday. It's just a big job, you know, and then Friday I get a call from Suzanne, hey, what's your plan for tomorrow? I go, I have a couple of ideas, but not many. She said, well, can I come and bring my supplies and help you? I go, take charge. Just take charge. And she helped so much. So everybody who was here, we started at 9:05 or something, and we were done by like 11:15. It was crazy. So anyway, take some free stuff, really. Take some free stuff. So today, whoo, it's humid, isn't it, y'all? I'm feeling it. Today, we're going to continue the series we started last week called Places of Promise. And we intentionally chose a blurry graphic because sometimes we know we have a promise from God, but we can't see what it looks like where we're going. Like, we know God's going to give us a good place. We know that. He's been faithful to us for all these years, 20 years of our existence. But we were like, is it here? Because it's a little blurry. But that's okay. It's still a place of promise, okay? And today, the place of promise I'm talking about is not blurry. It's very clear in Scripture. It's very, very clear. That is the promise of full life. Full life. In John 10:10, Jesus is talking and he says, a thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came to give life, life in all its fullness. He didn't say, I come to help you eke by day by day. He didn't say, I came to help you figure out how to survive one breath to the next. I know there are seasons when I've had to do that, but overall, if you back up and look at the big picture, he came to give us a full life. He says it right there in his own words. Now, kids, how many of you like playing tag? Raise your hand. Okay, let me ask you this. Miles, when you're playing tag and you start getting all winded and you start getting tired, what do you do? Start walking, then somebody catches you? Is that what you do? Okay. Sammy, what do you do when you get tired and you're running? Huh? You just sit down? But can't someone come and tag you? Unless you're on what? I'm not playing. Okay. That's true too. I'm done. I'm out. Right? When I was growing up, and I would get tired, and I would run around, and I would like be needing oxygen, I would find home base. Do you people not have home base anymore? Kids? No? We were wimps. What can I say? I wanted all the home bases. Home base is where you can go, and you can touch it, and you can let people know, I need to rest for a minute before I take off running again. I'm safe right now because I'm touching home base. But the moment my hand comes off of home base, I'm running again, right? Today I'm going to give you four home bases to have a full life. four home bases. These are the places that I go when life has beaten me down and I'm tired of running the race and I need to breathe. And I need to stop running for a moment. These are the four places I go. The first place, I go to the promise that I was planned. And you can go to the promise that you were planned. Psalm 139, 13 through 18 in the International Children's Bible says, "You made, God, you made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old." Whoo, do you see how safe that is? That's home base. "God, your thoughts are precious to me. They are so many. If I could count them, they would be more than all the grains of sand. When I wake up, I am still with you." You are always on his mind. You are always on my mind. I'm not a fan of country. Sorry. So I always do the twang, the nasal twang with it when I sing it. Yeah. You were planned. You are not an accident, no matter what the circumstances are surrounding your birth. You were made, you were created by an intelligent designer. Very intelligent designer. And because of that, why would God take the time to create you and then say, "Let's give this one a terrible life"? No. I want to give this one a full life because I made her. I want to give this one a full life because I made him. I created him. Now, let me ask you this question. Would an intelligent designer create something or someone and then say, "Don't be that way"? No, they wouldn't. No. You will never convince me that God created someone and said, "We're going to make this one be a liar." And then after they're born, "Don't lie." Are you hearing me? There's a double message here. Because I think there's such an attack on identity right now. There's such an attack on identity. And I'm not saying it's just them who gets confused about it. I think we all get confused about identity. But if we can remember, if we can come back to home base and say, "Okay, what's the truth here? What can I rest in? What truth can I rest in?" The truth is I am created by an intelligent designer. And a kind, loving God would never create me to be a way and then say, "Don't do that. That's against my kingdom ways." No. No. So that's our first home base. The promise that you were planned. I tell you, when things hit me in my life that I didn't expect, anything, a diagnosis that I didn't think was coming, an unexpected move, anything that hits me, this is where I come, right here. And I sit down and I go, "Okay, God, right now it feels like my whole world is spinning." What do you do when you have vertigo? Do you run? No. You sit down and you get as still as you can. And this is where I get still, right here. Like, "God, I don't know what your plan is, but I trust that you have a plan for every single day of my life before one of them even came to be." I'm resting in that place. The second home base, if you will, is that you have a purpose. You have a purpose. Now, about 20 years ago, there was a great book that kind of exploded in Christian circles called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. And you know what? I really think it's good material. I don't discount it or whatever. I think it's good. I read it and enjoyed it, and it's good. The problem is we got too narrow in our thinking, and we started thinking purpose was about our profession. And it's not. It's not. In my life, in all the stages of my life, I've had many different purposes as far as jobs, okay? Today I'm going to talk about two purposes that stay the same from the day you are born until the day you die. They stay the same. First of all, the purpose to be loved and love. To be loved and loved. John 13:34 says this, Jesus talking again, I give you a new command, love each other. You must love each other as I have loved you. You were born, you were created with a purpose, and one of those purposes is to receive love and to give love in that order. Some of us try to give love without receiving love, and we fall short. I read this week in a book, last week maybe, whenever, that love on earth is so limited because it's like it's coming through clogged pipes. And it helped me to have that visual somehow. I was like, oh, like you do feel loved, but in most relationships in your life, you feel loved, but you feel like they don't love you very well. Or maybe they do at times, and other times they disappoint you. Right? If you receive love from heaven, from God, then you can give love from that place that it overflows from Him. This book talked about how in heaven, there's not going to be any clogged pipes. I was like, whoa, what is that going to look like? You know? The other purpose I want to talk about today is that you were born to shine. You were born to shine. Philippians 2:12-16 says, my dear friends, this is Paul writing, you have always obeyed. You obeyed God when I was with you. It is even more important that you obey now while I am not with you. Keep on working to complete your salvation and do it with fear and trembling. Let's pause there. Is that hard to think about? Keep on working to complete your salvation. Like what? Wait, I'm saved. Why do I need to part? Like, I really think it's more of a partnership than a condition. I think it's once I have been, once I have asked Jesus into my heart and I've received him, I start to go, oh, I can partner with you in obedience so that I can shine well. If that makes sense. Now, yes, God is working in you to help you want to do what pleases him. Not try to earn favor with him so you can get love. You're already loved. This is out of the overflow. Then he gives you the power to do it. So even if we want to, he's the one who has to give us the power to do it. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Then you will be innocent and without anything wrong in you. You will be God's children without fault. But you are living with crooked and mean people all around you. The Bible is funny. Among them, you shine like stars in the dark world. You offer to them the teaching that gives life. So when Christ comes again, I can be happy because my work was not wasted. I ran the race and won. You see, these two purposes, they last your whole life. And there are times in my life when I've been like, God, what do you have next for me? Professionally or personally in my family or whatever. Like, what do you have next for me? And sometimes it's blurry. But this isn't blurry. I know that I always have a purpose to be loved and to love. And so I come back to that home base and I rest in that. Then I'm ready to run again. I'm ready to shine again. I'm not going to run today. Don't worry. Not really. Just imagine. In your imagination. These two remain. The next promise I want to talk about. Oh, this is a good one too. The promise of peace. The promise of peace. I don't know if tape will stick to this or not. We will see. The promise of peace. That's a good home base. Colossians 1, 17 through 22 says, Christ was there before anything was made, and all things continue because of him. He is the head of the body. The body is the church. Everything comes from him, and he is the first one who was raised from death. So in all things, Jesus is most important. God was pleased for all of himself to live in Christ. And through Christ, God decided to bring all things back to himself again. Things on earth and things in heaven. God made what? Peace. By using the blood of Christ's death on the cross. At one time you were separated from God. You were God's enemies in your minds because the evil deeds you did were against God. But now Christ has made you God's friends again. He did this by his death while he was in the body that he might bring you into God's presence. He brings you before God as people who are holy with no wrong in you and with nothing that God can judge you guilty of. This is one of the home bases that God has provided for us. He made peace between us and himself. So when I'm starting to feel shame about something, I ask myself, do I need to confess and make something right with the Lord? Because he longs for me to come and do that. But then after I do that, I sit on this home base and I trust that God made peace between me and him. He made it possible for me to live at total peace with him. And the interesting thing about this peace is it not only impacts my relationship with him, again, it impacts my relationship with those around me. It impacts my life and circumstances. Because God has made it possible for me to have peace. Peace isn't the absence of conflict. It's the hope that God's going to use it no matter what. And it's the hope that God's going to teach me how to love people well so that we can make anything right that might be between us. You know? We come before God with no wrong in us, guilt-free, friends of God. And sometimes this peace that doesn't make sense. Somebody asked me, how are you doing with this whole move thing with the church? I'm like, I have peace that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense with the human mind, but I don't know. I told you last or 2 weeks ago, I'm sad for what we're walking away from because we've had some amazing times here with the Lord and with each other, but I have a growing excitement about it because sometimes with a disruption comes new energy and new hope and new vision and new mission. And how can we go wrong with that? That God had to get the children of Israel out of Egypt to take them to the promised land. They couldn't just stay in Egypt and have the promised land come to them. That peace carries you. The last home base I want to talk about today, I'm sure there's many more, but if you want a full life, these four home bases will help you. And I wrote it a little differently because the word is progress. And we think progress is like this. And it's not. It's more like but it's still progress. It's still progress for sure. Here's the promise from the Word that talks about that. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I switched over to the Passion Translation for this one because I love the way it's worded. We can all grow draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. There's that shine concept again. We are being transfigured into the very image, his very image, as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. No, Sandy, we have to move from crisis to crisis. We have to move from election to election. No, we get to move from one brighter level of glory to another brighter level of glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I felt like I was supposed to say to someone today, you are not stuck. You might think you are stuck, you might feel stuck, but you are not stuck. You are making progress. You are making progress. It's a promise from the Word. Don't take my word for it, take His word for it. You are making, now sometimes some progress is easier to see than others. I won't lie, I admit that. Sometimes I'm like, God, I definitely feel stuck. Usually he says, don't count on your feelings. They change like the wind, you know. Whoa. Whoops. And so I just want to remind you, you're not stuck. You're not stuck in your marriage. If you choose to take that approach, you will feel that way and you probably won't hang around long. But if you ask God to help show you the progress you're making, he'll show you and give you the strength and the courage to stay. To stay. You are not stuck in your job. If you need another job, ask God to give you a different job, but serve with joy until the day he shows you the next one. Serve with excellence and joy until that day comes. You are not stuck. But be careful. Don't make your progress dependent on another person or a circumstance. It was so easy when I was growing up to say, well, when I go to college, I'm going to be happy. Right? Then in college, when I get married, I'm going to be happy. And then when I was married, when I have kids, I'm going to be happy. And then when I had kids, this is hard. I love it, but this is hard. No. Run to home base of progress and say, God, I'm telling you how I feel, and I know you welcome my honesty, but I am asking you to help show me how I'm making progress. And if there's anything I can do to partner with you, let me know. I'll do it. I'll stand in obedience to you, God. I just want to partner with you because I know you've promised me a full life, and I know you've given me a plan, and I know you've given me a purpose. More than one. And I know you've given me peace, and I know you designed me to live in progress, moving from one level of glory to another level of glory. I really thought about having you move to the sign that you felt like you needed the most today. But I thought, that's going to stretch them way out of their comfort zone, and they're moving soon, so let's just let them sit today. But I want you to visualize in your mind, I want you to see yourself moving to one of these signs in the Spirit as an act of faith to say, God, I know you have a plan for my life, but I'm having a hard time seeing it right now. So I'm going to sit on this home base until I have confidence in it. God, I feel like I don't really have purpose right now. So I'm going to go and sit on that home base until I am able to receive your love and then give out love so that I'm able to shine. the way you called me to shine, the way you created me to shine. God, I need your peace. I'm going to go sit on the home base of peace until I know that we are friends, that you look at me. You have so many wonderful thoughts about me. They're not thoughts to squash me. They are thoughts to pour out your love and grace and mercy on me. I'm going to sit there on that home base until I get that deep in my spirit. Or maybe I feel stuck, so I'm going to go to that sign. And I'm going to sit there until God shows me the progress I've already made. Sometimes the best thing I can do is look back and see the progress I've already made. And then that gives me hope for the progress to come. But then I'm going to sit there in that place of confidence in him until it comes. So you see yourself standing there at one of those signs? Let's pray. God, I thank you for the full life you've promised us. You did not design us to scrape by, to hang on by our fingernails. That is not what you intended for us. That is not what you dreamed for us. So I pray for every person who's standing around every sign in the Spirit. And I pray that they would sit on that home base until they are confident of it. And then they'll get up and run the race you've called them to run. That you would give us the courage to be still when we need to be still and to get moving when we need to get moving. Thank you, Father. If you agree with that, say amen. Which means, yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. So next week, we will continue. This will be our final service in this building next week. I know. But we'll see what God does. I'll keep you posted. If we cannot get into wherever we're going immediately, if it's there, great. If it's not, God will show us. Then we're going to figure out some interim stuff. So you're going to have to stay super connected to know where we're going to be after next week, okay? Read your emails and you know, pay attention. We'll mark the website as well each week if we're in a different place. So next week, though, for our final service here in this building, we will do places of promise, endings, and beginnings. Because, of course, that's what we're doing, right? Today, we have a little surprise. Donuts instead of bagels. Donuts and coffee. So hang out in the foyer. Visit with each other. Enjoy that big, big foyer, that spacious foyer while you have it. And enjoy a half a donut or a whole donut. It's all up to you. It's in your power. Love you guys.